Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Many decades ago, in the early hours of a cold and dark winter morning in Iceland, while under the soft glow of the Aurora Borealis, sailors and air crew made their way across the frozen ramp to prepare their aircraft for flight. Their special Lockheed P-3 Orion Subhunter aircraft was being prepared to be called into service at a moment's notice. And all the anti-submarine warfare systems were being checked and prepared for flight. Mechanics checked the engines and topped off the oil. Ordnance men loaded all the required armament of sonobuoys and torpedoes, mines, and anti-ship missiles. Pilots were busy as they performed their pre-flight readiness checks. And when all the preparations had been completed, the aircraft was powered down in a manner which allowed it to be turned on at a moment's notice. The aircrew was then sequestered to the barracks to wait, and they waited for the ready alert siren. And if the siren sounded, the crew would spring into action and they would intercept the incoming Soviet submarine. All this would happen within minutes. And no one knew when the call would come. Sometimes the aircrew waited for hours. Sometimes they were never launched. The crucial part is that they were prepared and they waited for their call to action. And likewise, Jesus illustrates the same idea in the parable of the 10 virgins. If we were to boil down this message that Jesus is trying to communicate with his disciples, it would be this: be in a state of constant readiness, be on the alert. And sure, it would be easy to end the sermon right here. I'm sure some of you would like that. We would say, there, Jesus has told us all we need to know. And it is true, this is the kernel meeting that Jesus is communicating with the disciples. But there is some more we can learn from this parable. Some are let in, and others are shut out. This is a theme that is repeated in Jesus' other parables. And this is a parable that will happen, what will happen to believers when Jesus returns on Judgment Day. And also in this parable is employed the familiar theme of an imminent wedding, which Jesus used many times. However, this parable can be difficult to understand as we don't know for certain all the intricacies of Jewish marriage ceremonies of that time. In this parable, the 10 virgins are ushers, or maybe more aptly called usherettes. And they are to usher the groom. They're waiting for the groom so that they can go pick up the bride and take her to her wedding. And when they reach the wedding, the doors will be shut. And during Jesus' ministry on earth, weddings often started at night, and they would last for 2 to 3 days. And this wedding is taking place at night, so there are no street lights. So those who are processing with the bridegroom are not only to be on alert for his arrival, but they must have sufficient oil to provide light for the group. And 5 of the virgins were wise, and 5 were foolish. The wise had enough oil, the foolish did not have enough oil. It is interesting to note that the Greek word for foolish in this parable is the same word which we derive moron from in English. They were morons for not having enough oil. A more modern way of saying this is perhaps that really bad word that my mother would not allow me and my brothers to use at the dinner table on each other: stupid. And this seems like a harsh thing for our Lord to say about some people, but it bears some thought about where wisdom comes from. Proverbs 1 verse 7 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, and fools despise wisdom and instruction." wisdom and understanding come from God. All 10 virgins were waiting for the bridegroom in faith, but the 5 foolish virgins only possess a superficial knowledge of the truth, just like the Pharisees. And this is evidenced by their lack of enough oil. The 5 foolish virgins were not expecting the bridegroom to be late. They were expecting him to appear when they wanted him to appear. And their lack of oil points to their misunderstanding of who the bridegroom truly is. They believe they know the timing of the bridegroom's arrival, and they do not prepare accordingly. And the bridegroom is late, and all the virgins, all of them, both the wise and the foolish, fall asleep. This is an important detail. All who were waiting became weary and fell asleep, and much like the disciples fell asleep in the Garden of Gethsemane. But suddenly, without expectation, at midnight, the cry is heard, "The bridegroom is here!" And all the virgins who were to honor and to accompany the bridegroom adjusted their wicks on their lamps so that they would burn brightly. And in a moment of panic, the foolish virgins realize they are unprepared. They don't have enough oil to properly escort the bridegroom. So the foolish virgins ask the wise virgins to share their oil. But they refuse because they know if they share their oil, there will not be enough oil for all of them to light the way and honor the bridegroom and to properly greet him. And perhaps this is where the most devastating demonstration of foolishness happens in this parable. The 5 foolish virgins leave to go buy more oil. Not only are they unprepared and don't have enough oil, but they leave. And when the bridegroom arrives, they are not included in the wedding party. And those who were ready went in with him to the marriage feast, and the door was shut. The door was shut, just like the door on the ark was shut when the wicked people in Noah's time were not prepared. We don't know from this parable if the foolish virgins were able to obtain the required oil or not, but they do return and they demand to be led into the wedding feast. They even call out to the bridegroom using the proper title to show their honor, "Lord, Lord." But it's all in vain. The bridegroom denies them entry and he says to them, "I do not know you." Now I know many of you are thinking, "Well, I want to be sure I have oil. What exactly is the oil?" And this is certainly a thought that I had too as I studied this text. Is the oil something we need? Is the oil faith? Is it God's word? Maybe the oil is the Holy Spirit. Well, the hotly contested, definitive theological answer is yes. It can be all of these things. Don't get lost in the details of this parable. And to focus solely on the oil will cause you to miss the main point that Jesus is trying to make. The oil is not something you can buy or supply yourself. The oil is not a good work. It's not something you do. But it is supplied by the bridegroom, and it is freely given. The main point of this parable is that you watch and you be prepared, for no one knows when our Lord will appear on the last day. And if you are worried or concerned that you don't have enough oil, well, you're in good company. The ones who are not prepared are the ones who don't care, and they reject the bridegroom, and they persist in unbelief. But here's what we should be looking at in this parable. All the virgins, all of them, the wise and the foolish, were invited to the wedding feast. But all the virgins failed in their task. The 5 foolish and the 5 wise virgins all fell asleep. But sleeping is not the problem here, or even the disciples fell asleep. It's not about what they did or what they did not do. But by the bridegroom's grace, even the five wise virgins who failed to stay awake and watch were received graciously by the bridegroom. Perhaps the five foolish virgins should have stayed to see if the bridegroom would still accept them instead of leaving. But the foolish virgins reject the invitation of the bridegroom by leaving, and they fail to understand the grace of the bridegroom. Jesus ends the parable by explaining the meeting with the exhortation, "Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour." And do not become like the foolish virgins who thought that bringing an extra bottle of oil would burden them or perhaps hinder their fun at the party. When the time came to meet the bridegroom, they wandered off. They think they can produce what is needed on their own. They do not rely on the goodness and the grace of the bridegroom. They think that the oil is what will get them into the wedding feast. But the result of their unpreparedness and their rejection of the bridegroom is to be shut out. But rejoice in the Lord, for he has told us how to be prepared and to be watchful for his return. We can be prepared and watchful by abiding in God's word, abiding in God's word through personal devotion, catechetical instruction, and Bible study. In holy baptism, we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, and with daily contrition and repentance, we drown and die with all sins and evil desires, and the new Adam arises. We also prepare and watch by participating in the divine service with the bride of Christ, the church. And this is where we hear God's word and we receive the life-giving gifts of the sacraments. The invitation to celebrate in the eternal marriage feast of the Lamb is from Christ himself, who was crucified on the cross for our sins, and he conquered sin, death, and the devil by his resurrection, all to save the life of his bride, the church. Much like the five foolish virgins, many false prophets have tried to predict the return of our Lord Jesus, and they have all failed. The founder of the Jehovah's Witnesses, Charles Taze Russell, measured the dimensions and the corridors of the Great Pyramid of Giza in Egypt. And he thought by taking these measurements that he could predict the return of Christ, and he came up with the number 1873. And then 1873 came and passed, and Jesus did not appear. He was forced to admit his mathematical error, he said, and he changed the date to 1874. And again, 1874 came and passed, and Jesus did not return, so he declared that Jesus had returned. He was just invisible. Well, isn't that convenient? In more contemporary times, the author Hal Lindsey, the author of the popular book, The Late Great Planet Earth, he said that he believed that the generation that saw the 1948 rebirth of the nation of Israel would see the return of Jesus within 40 years. And most of us here that are adults today remember 1988, and Jesus did not return in 1988. All who try to predict the return of our Lord Jesus Christ have failed. For Jesus said, "Concerning that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but the Father only." And the bridegroom may be a long time coming, and so far the church has been waiting for Jesus' glorious return for over 2,000 years. And Jesus will return. He will return when the time is right, according to his will. He will return at the perfect time, and we are to be prepared and watchful. And be ready. The Holy Spirit is preparing us, and we are to trust in the goodness and grace of our bridegroom Jesus, for he comes to receive his bride, the church, apart from anything we could do or our own abilities. And we will all become weary and fall asleep. But on the day of judgment, Christ will awaken all, and by his death and resurrection, the faithful shall join with him in everlasting celebration of the marriage feast of the Lamb. In the name of Jesus. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.